Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Bunker Show. You're joining us here, coming to you live and direct on the 21st of October, live from our bunker underneath the sewers of Westminster. And joining us in the bunker today, as always, is our own ray of sunshine with a big silly grin. Here's Helen.
Good evening, everyone. Looking forward to tonight's guest. We've got an interesting show for you. Hope you're tuned in, and don't forget to come and join us in the chat room so you can interact with the show, ask any questions, have a chat with us. So yeah, see you in there, Dark City Radio chat room.
And also joining us in the bunker today, as always, here's Jimmy.
Yeah, hey, lovely to be back here in the bunker, and as always, you know, really looking forward to really interesting chatting. Who's our guest tonight, mate?
Well, our guest tonight is, and it's actually our 26th show today, so I guess that makes us 6 months old, so it's a half a happy birthday to us, and on our first show, our guest was Martin Beard, and it's also his birthday today, so I'd like to wish Martin a happy birthday. And Martin has been able to put us in touch with an activist, and she's written a number of articles on vaccinations from Iceland, which is Ingeborg Gunnlaugsdottir. I think I pronounced that correctly. Hello, Inga.
Hi to you, Fabrice. Yes, you almost managed to say it. Correct, so my name.
Ingeborg Gunnlaugsdottir.
Well, Ingibjörg Gunnlaugsdottir. But it doesn't matter.
Thank you very much. I felt very brave having a go. Thank you very much for joining us. You're from Iceland, and you've also been quite active for a number of years. So how did you come to be doing what it is that you do?
Active for quite a years, but you were talking about all the stuff I do or write about, yes. I woke up a long time ago, but you didn't have this opportunity to find things and give things away, information, like informations, until the internet came around. But if you talk about vaccines, then I have a son who have Asperger syndrome, and he's 31 soon, and I discovered him changing after his first shot. So that was one there. And then, well, when you start to see things all seem to be linking together, the more you dig, the more you find. You know what I mean? Well, but if I'm talking about all these things I look into, I think I will not kill your audience right away. But ask me what you like.
You mentioned that your son had Asperger's, and that you noticed a correlation between vaccines and those kind of ailments. So you've also done quite a lot of work with that. And 2 weeks ago, we had a guest, Andrew Johnson, who we were talking about health as an industry rather than health as finding cures and remedies for different ailments. So how do you think that vaccines fit in with that health versus healthcare and health as an industry?
I think it is number one industry. Just, you know, if you get side effects from these vaccines, then you are on the drug makers, how can I say, stable from your crib to the coffin. And the funny thing is the side effects of vaccines are very usually the same thing as you would get if you got the disease itself. That's very kind of hilarious, actually. So they want customers there, big pharma, for a lifetime. Maybe not, how can I say, dead, but kind of not very much lively, though.
So in terms of if there are side effects from vaccines, that the healthcare companies seek to exploit that. I mean, one piece of information you put me onto was a gentleman who'd worked for the drug manufacturer Eli Lilly for 35 years. And he was saying that the health companies that he was working with, Eli Lilly, was actively engaged in attempting to create consumers for their healthcare products by sustaining a level of sickness or not well-being.
Yes, that is actually, in my opinion, and what I have researched, that what the big pharma do. They want no cure, but they have cures. But who made the disease in the beginning? How come everybody today is more sick than maybe 50 years ago?
And we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago on the show, how, you know, actually it's in their interest to have as many people buying their medications or using their vaccinations as possible, isn't it? And it reminds me a bit of energy companies, you know, having created an everlasting light bulb or having created an everlasting battery, but they won't put it on the market because it's not good for industry. It sounds very much like Big Pharma are doing that with our health.
Yes.
Suppressing health in exchange for ongoing illness, maintenance.
I call them healthcare, not healthcare.
Yeah.
So I
can understand that.
So maybe I'm a little bit rude when I say that, but honestly, I don't understand how people can be so blind, even when their own kids get sick right after the vaccine, and maybe people are afraid, in the fear of admitting everything. Those they call activists or people, crazy people. Maybe.
And I think a lot of people are raised to put faith and trust in their healthcare providers and believe them, and haven't even dawned on them to maybe go and ask for the ingredients to the vaccination before they allow it to be stuck in their child, or, you know, the possible side effects, and they're listed. Instead, they're putting their faith in someone rather than educating themselves. And I think there needs to be a shift there if we possibly can.
Well, as in Iceland, it's like that. You don't get any information about the insert in the vaccines. Vaccines are listed on the, what we would call FDA, the same in Iceland, but another name. There is a vaccine listed as a drug. So all other drugs in Iceland have insert in their packets where it says all side effects and so on. But vaccines are the only one they don't allow you actually to have any information about. They keep it away from you.
Can you name any of the ingredients that aren't on the label that we should be worried about?
I would say a lot of things about most people know that there is mercury. There is formaldehyde. Sorry, my pronouncing. Aluminium, the toxic ingredients, neurotoxic. The doctors, ahead of our CDC in Iceland, even write in the newspapers there are no toxins in vaccine, and they don't have to confirm anything. It seems to be okay. They can write statement like this, and everybody swallow that. Anyway, about the more not so toxins, not neurotoxic maybe, but there is MSG, monosodium glutamate, and there is antibiotic, and they use peanut protein, milk protein, soy protein in the producers, how can I say, it is in the brew, but they say it shall not be in the last brewing. But if you look back 50, 60 years, how come nobody actually had any peanut allergy or milk allergy or allergy for this and that? But this, so I think people should look more into everybody scream about the toxins, of course, but they stick you in the eye. But there are hidden toxins in it. And think about the antibiotic allergy. You cannot get allergy from anything if that have not one time, in one way or another, come into your body. doesn't matter what way, you have to have had it once, so it can form allergy. So there is.
So you think there's a correlation there between the allergies and the vaccinations?
I would actually go so. I will say state so much. I say vaccines are the root of allergy.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, I haven't researched that area. That's very interesting. But I am aware of the massive increase in allergies in children.
And also, you mentioned earlier, Inga, that when people often go for these vaccinations, that often within a day or 2 days, they actually get some quite serious after effects from having had the vaccine. Not everybody, but there's quite a notable number when you consider that most of a school year in this country with the vaccination programs they have, of those 200 or 300 children who are having the vaccination, half a dozen or sometimes more will have quite a notable reaction to it. So do you think that it can literally, as soon as your body assimilates it, that there can be effects from then on?
You are stating that they get the disease from the vaccine itself, yes. And another thing about schools, they are getting in Iceland like this to scaring people off those unvaccinated children. We shall not, my sons are all vaccinated, but sadly to say, but not two or four not fully. But anyway, if a child is unvaccinated it's very funny, then they say that only child shall be a threat to a school full of children who are fully vaccinated. Or are they saying the vaccine doesn't work? Yes, but that must be, otherwise
so,
nobody...
Yeah, so in quite a few places they're trying to bring in a rule, aren't they, where they're trying to make it compulsory for a child attending school to be vaccinated. That's what you mean, isn't it? And the argument there is that if all the other children are vaccinated, what risk does one child pose to the others?
Yeah, well, should the how could the unvaccinated child be a threat if all the others have been vaccinated? That should not be possible. But the vaccinated ones actually shed vaccine. And as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny says, totally up to 28 days you can. 14, 28 days. So why are everybody getting this and that illness? Is that because the vaccinated are shedding it? How come the flu always seems to start just few weeks after they start the vaccine campaign every year, the yearly flu vaccine campaign? How? And the big business.
If you don't mind me asking, how old was your son when he was being vaccinated, and what was he being vaccinated for?
Well, in Iceland, they start 3 months, and it is a triple vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. And one thing about pertussis, sorry my pronouncing, I saw him change from that, but then pertussis is pertussis toxoid. And that is used, you can look it up, and I can give you a link later on here too as well. It is used to make a lab animal, test animal, get encephalitis, the brain swelling, let the brain swell. That's used for that, and that is in this vaccine. I know this is, everybody can verify that, and they cannot shoot me for that. This is totally true.
And, do you think that the pressures that people are under to get vaccinated, it really start to make it harder for you to make an informed and even choice as a parent?
Say it again.
So with often with the vaccination programs, as you mentioned, there comes a publicity and also a certain amount of media pressure. We were saying that they were using cartoon characters to make vaccinations more popular in this country amongst school children. Do you think that makes it harder for parents to make an informed choice for their children when there is a certain amount of that peer pressure?
Yes, well, not only that. Like about the HPV vaccine in Iceland, I know about some girls who have got teased by their classmates about that. Your father is a crazy guy. He does want you to get a cancer since you do not get the vaccine, and you're not allowed to go maybe on a school trip because you're not vaccinated, or if you do not get the vaccine, you are not allowed. So they are making a pressure between the kids to attack those who not follow mainstream, mainstream sheep meme walk. Sorry, I said...
Yeah, I've had first-hand experience with my own daughter and with a few other young girls her age that I know that they've, you know, where they've done the school HPV vaccine. And I mean, some of the propaganda, the leaflets that come home about it, all jazzed up with kids on their fancy mobiles texting each other, I've had my vaccine, it was all fine, everything's great, and all this propaganda, that to start with. And then when we informed them she wasn't going to have it, you know, the difficulties she was given with nurses and teachers on telling her she was putting herself at more risk of cancer and things like this, when actually, when you look into the facts, that is not true. And my argument was that when she's ready to look at the facts and educate herself, she can decide whether or not she thinks it's a worthwhile vaccination.
Yes.
So why are they trying to push it on the child? Why isn't it voluntary?
Why does they want everybody to have this vaccine? And now they have started vaccinating boys with the same vaccine that they call cervical cancer vaccine. They don't have any cervical. No, then they call it a genital wart vaccine. And the boys are getting same illness from the vaccine, crippling, dying. One thing I find a bit odd, if I may keep on talking, is that all those girls who have died or got crippled one way or another from the HPV vaccines have been so big time active in their schools. They have had high grades. And they, in sports and everything, and they are slim, they are fit. So I have wondered if the vaccine is too much upon their own immune system because it is under so much stress and strain in the beginning.
And there are no long-term studies for this vaccine, is there? Because it's too new. There is no long-term, we don't know yet what the long-term
Well, actually, Merck got... the Gardasil vaccine almost running on a train through FDA in 2006. They can pay specific money to get the, well, they call it research money for this and that drug or product they want to market. And so actually they call it research money, but somehow everything who gets this research money seems to get free right through FDA and into the market. That was with the Gardasil. And the article I didn't get allowed to post in the biggest newspaper in Iceland in September was actually about that Toyota cares more about the people than Merck, because they recalled 8.1 million cars who might have attributed to five deaths in 5 years, 2006 to 2011. And by that time already had died from the same vaccine put on market same year as the Lexus car. Around 40 girls were stated on waivers, but they say you could add up to 100 more there because that is... doctors shall post side effects from the vaccine there, and I think we all know that it's not very likely they do. So they didn't want my article about comparing these two, and today 232 girls are written down their death. And no recall.
So they weren't wanting to publish an article that stated the figures?
No. And not comparing that Toyota care more about people than just because there were maybe 5 deaths linked to failure in the brake system in the Lexus, I think it was, rather than the steering.
So they recall millions of Lexus cars to make sure that those 5 failures don't injure any of their customers. And then you have a vaccine company where they're literally getting hundreds of people reporting adverse reactions. And there's no attention in the media. For example, as you would get if you had the publicity with a car which is being manufactured with a design fault in it, as opposed to a vaccine which is going directly into somebody, which also potentially has a design fault in it.
May I state a little bit more about the article? Actually, why it never comes in? Well, it's so hard to publish anything in the media is because, for example, our big time Robert Murdoch, he owns shares or stock, how you call it, in the company Merck, and he sits on board there. He is the head of, I don't remember the name of the biggest English news corporation. I don't remember the name
news
of that.
News International, which owns Sky and News of the World.
No, it has another name. It's more short. But I will post it later. But anyway, I write about him and his sons in this article that they also sit on board on other drug companies. So it is no wonder we cannot get any information about vaccines. Well, the guy must not own any shares in the Toyota company, actually.
And with that sort of cross-investment... drugs is a huge industry. I believe some of the 10 largest companies on the FTSE 500 that are pharmaceutical are worth almost as much as the rest of the FTSE 500 put together. So it's quite a massive industry in terms of billions of pounds a year. So you can see why there would be incentive for people with that much money to encourage programs where people have sustained illnesses rather than any kind of cure.
Well, actually, as I said before, having them on the staple of drug big pharma from the crib to the coffin on drug. But why information... okay. Let's say, like, somebody sues the drug companies for vaccine side effects. Okay, they get the person win in court, and they shall get fee paid. It is not the drug company who is paying; it is the taxpayers, because the drug mafia. Sorry, I said it. Now I said it loud. Got it through after 1966, the big, big time, the vaccine, the swine flu vaccine number one in 1976, you remember that?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and they've got many, many people crippled, paralyzed, and dead. I don't remember how many thousands, but they were thousands. And only one dead. But at that time, the drug pharma, that was themselves who was paying the fee if you won something in court. But they somehow, I have it somewhere, they got it through the parliament or in US that they are never eligible to pay anything today. They got it through like that. That is the taxpayer who pay whatever it is. And that's partly after what Edward Kennedy says, the reason why they can put new vaccine on and new vaccines like on a roller coaster onto the market because they don't pay anything.
So they have their indemnities, their losses, their responsibility for bad decisions. Effectively, if they get approved by the state body, then the state will pay any damages rather than the drug company.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. So
wow.
the taxpayers are paying. And they left after us.
And of course, with the crossover, that would give a lot of ability through the media to manage the perception that people will see of that happening, so that they can make it look like the drug company is actually suffering some kind of loss for their bad behavior.
Yeah, the kind of it says that some of these drug companies have paid some compensation fee. But so far, I know it is the taxpayers in each country. It only might be that if the government of each country might sue the drug maker, if the government sue them.
To get their money back, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened, though, has it, as far as I know?
Yes, in Argentina.
Right.
Well, because there were 12... children who died while they were test running the vaccine Synflorix, who is actually the same as Prevnar, but the Synflorix is made from GlaxoSmithKline. Prevnar is made from Merck, and both Prevnar is called the pneumonia vaccine, but they call the Synflorix vaccine actually more like ear infection vaccine. And in Iceland, they started to use it in 2011. Well, they usually start using vaccines on kids. Your child shall be like a test child for vaccines before they put it on the market or into the vaccine group they're vaccinating for. So people, they can say, yes, we had this pneumonia incident or this or that incident the year, 1-2 years before. And that's how they can also push the vaccines into the market. But about the Synflorix, the Argentina government actually sued the GlaxoSmithKline. And we were posting about this, me and my friend, who the newspaper doesn't like so much, about this. And they let it through as nothing. You know, now they vaccinate kids in Iceland with this vaccine. 12 died from 12 so far. I know 14 I have heard and seen some places, but I will not state that. So I find it very odd that people are so keen on never actually looking into anything. They don't want to see a shit. Sorry, yeah. I'd be vulgar.
Yeah, I mean, and it's worth, I mean, you mentioned GlaxoSmithKline and their behavior in Argentina. Well, the same company also, I believe, has been fined in Poland and in China for certain for bribing doctors. So if the doctors would prescribe a certain amount of GlaxoSmithKline products, they would be there to people who obviously don't need them. And they were caught twice for providing incentives and bribes to enable doctors to do that. So, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, Helen was mentioning earlier about schools and teachers and nurses promoting those type of things. How do you think Big Pharma actually dispenses its bribes and kickbacks? And how important do you think that perception management, that spinning of the media is for those companies?
About schools, I started actually wondering, since the schools are so much pressing on that everybody should be vaccinated, or the health authorities or the schools, so the school system, I'm wondering if the drug companies are paying schools for promoting vaccine. I don't know if that is true, but I'm getting some guessings going on in my brain. I have to look into that. But it would not surprise me that actually drug companies as they do in the University of Harvard and UCLA and Stanford, the medical universities. They run the cafeteria. So are they doing that in other schools?
I think
that's something to keep an eye on, sort of thing, something to look for some research on.
Yes.
I've got a question from the chat room. One of our listeners would be interested to know, are live vaccines more dangerous than dead vaccines?
In my opinion, I would say that, well, life is always alive. It doesn't matter where, how it comes into you. As they are using all over the India, the oral polio vaccine, you open your mouth and they put it in a droplet in your mouth. India, Pakistan, and yes, and other. If they are, it is a dead virus injected into you, how can, could you anyway form immune against the disease? Well, I'm no chemist or nothing like that, but I, and they use formaldehyde to kill or weaken the virus. That is why formaldehyde is in the vaccine. And I find it very odd why, okay, they had oral polio vaccine used for, well, it's actually not so many years or so long ago they used that in US, but they stopped using that. But they use it in the poorer countries and the more populated. And funny, they actually go there in and make a big, big campaign to vaccinate the populatists and poorest areas in India. And if you look around, it is always like that. And as Bill Gates states, if we do a really good job in the vaccine and healthcare, we can lower the population number. He says it on a radio, no video conference talk. And then he say, I love vaccines.
And he's also, again, another person who has a lot of influence in being able to make sure that they're spun okay. And it's interesting as well that they're in the poorer parts of the world that they're attempting to use sort of similar compounds that aren't allowed to be used in some of the wealthier parts of the world. And another set of drugs that's come up that I'd be very interested to hear your opinion on SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about those drugs and how they fit into the pharmaceutical web?
Huge, in my opinion, and they call it mind control drugs. And they say okay, serotonin, norepinephrine, these stuffs are hormone. So they say if you get serotonin drug, they say you are depressed because your serotonin is low. But if you look at other hormones you get from other source, then it takes over the work of your body. I mean, it doesn't actually matter what hormone that is. Your own hormone doesn't need to work when another from the outside comes in. It goes on vacation. So serotonin kind of, well, they say, claim that serotonin drugs increase your own serotonin. And in what I have looked into, it is the opposite. Why should the serotonin in your body make any effort to do anything when another is doing the work? So, and mind control, well, they call it, call Prozac that. They call Zoloft that. They call Paxil, Effexor, mind control. But if you look back at all those shootings and, well, those who did not kill themselves, what they have said, where I have read and listened to them, who did not kill themselves, they say they don't remember from X part and until X hours later, and then they have been shooting a lot of people. It's like their brain is taken out.
Yeah, I mean, I've also heard some reports from people who have also had very close suicidal experiences whilst taking those drugs, that they emotionally shut down, and it's almost like they're observing their reactions but aren't actually able to participate in what they're doing. It's almost like they're aware of themselves functioning on autopilot.
Yes, talking about that, I have teenage friends who often come to my house, and they had, all of them was a little bit rebellious, and all seemed to be put on ADHD drugs or these drugs who are like that, and all say the same thing to me, and that is that they feel like they have no motions. They feel like they're a flat line. They doesn't care about anything. So they don't want, so far I think we still are. It is normal that we have emotions and we go down and we go up. But we shall not be up all the time or down all the time. We shall be fluctuating. And so they don't want us to be like that. They don't want us to be human.
It's very interesting to note how many in mass shootings and other violent incidents, there's been a number of them in public locations, that the number of people who are responsible for those, who are on those types of medication, shows that there's definitely more attention that needs to be paid to the people who are using those drugs at the moment.
Yes, and so far I have looked in everyone who have done those mass killing. Doesn't matter what kind of a weapon, but of course if it is a gun, it is more obvious because it is a mass killing. It is so much blood. So, depending on how you kill, is also how can say how the media look at it. And there are a lot of. Maybe this is not relevant, but maybe I remember about a woman who had five kids, and she was on not only one of these SSRI drugs, two or three. She had depression after childbirth. She had five young kids and she drowned them all in the bathtub. You can look it up.
Yes, and I remember that story as well.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I remember reading about it. It's terrible.
I think we should... another thing, if I may... Well, media will not probably be happy about it in Iceland anyway, but Iceland had world record in prescribing Ritalin. I will not say if it was only on children or all age group, but we held the world record in 2005. We got ahead of US. Maybe that is the main thing in Iceland, getting world record. Doesn't matter in what, sorry to say. But this is true. And I was I tried to get people to look at other options to cure the children who had ADHD.
ADHD.
Yeah,
what sort of options, Inga? What sort of options would they be in terms of how you can take care of yourself and other options rather than SSRIs and other drugs that may not be suitable for you?
You are meaning we could cure people or let them not... Well, cure, I think we are... maybe lacking some thing in our food because people are not eating correctly, and omega-3 have been stated to, and that have been tested on children in a class giving them omega-3 who should otherwise be put on Ritalin, and they showed a big, huge progress and got better just getting the omega-3. So maybe our fat lump in the head need more fat. It is, after all, a fat lump. So, and they want us not to eat fat or not correct fat. And everybody's eating something most people call food. But yeah, calling it food is maybe the only likeness with the food, but it is not maybe what our body need to sustain.
So treating yourself holistically and making sure that you pay attention to, I guess, your whole diet, your whole environment, is a really worthwhile way of keeping yourself in the best shape.
Yes, and I know of many who have changed the diet of their kids who both have are autistic and they're hyperactive. And if they, when they have changed their diet, their behavior and so-called illness change. But many link all these things to the vaccines, so we come around again. It is just chasing the tail. I mean, why nobody look into the Amish people? They never vaccinate. There is no autistic there.
The Amish, that's a very, very, very interesting anomaly with, their simple lifestyle and the number of those sort of incidences that they don't have is really worth paying attention to. Inge, we're moving into the back half of the show, and of course you're from Iceland, and we've heard many things about Iceland in the media, especially since the crash of 2008, the way Iceland dealt with its bankers and also its constitution as well. So would you be able to tell us a little bit about, I guess, what's really been going on in Iceland and whether the country is in better shape than it was in 2008?
Well, I don't know what I shall say in better shape when there are a lot of strikes now going on in Iceland. So there is at least not so much happiness about the money people get. And about the bank crash itself, and that we took, the mainstream media seem to be fixated on that, that we put the bank guys into the jail. Well, one got this year, I think actually maybe two have got into jail this year, and that is the first time so far I know. But being in jail in Iceland doesn't mean they sit all the time, you know.
I've heard they have a problem with you can be in Iceland, you can be arrested, you can be charged, and you can be sentenced and found guilty of a crime, but you might still not end up in prison. Can you tell us how why that happens?
Well, actually, they claim that there are there is not enough big prison. They are talking about that, but well, there are enough empty houses. They can make a prison if they like, because of all losing of their houses. Anyway, about, yes, you can actually be sentenced to to some years and so on. But I'm not sure the English word of how can say you are not going into jail, but you are under the surveillance of the police.
We usually say on police bail, so you have to report to the police station at one point.
Yeah, yeah, and you may not do any crime act on that time that might put you in jail. So, but in Iceland, actually, many seem to be waiting for getting into jail to sit off their sentence. But maybe when you... let's say you do some bad deeds when you're young there is no place in the prison for you, and maybe you have got a family and everything when you're 30, but it was 10 years ago you did some stupid things and should actually be in jail, but there is no place. And then you shall go into the jail 10 years later, and they don't seem to take in consideration that you have improved your life and gone off the path. So, well, I think I'm correct about this. Maybe I will get shot for saying this, but I think I'm totally correct. And I know about incidences like that. So.
And so if you have bankers who have been committing fraud, there's a chance they may not end up in jail. I suppose that at least they are getting sentenced for such things in Iceland? Because in England, we haven't prosecuted any bankers successfully for many years.
Well, actually, one is, he was sentenced to 5 years. Now, I think it was only one month ago. I think he was one of those in the Landsbanki, but I'm not. I'll not state that. So, and there was two or three others earlier, but one is starting sitting. But they say it's very funny. They say he paid so he could get a front in the line to start sitting the sentence. I say, oh, with what money? The money he cheated from the bank, maybe. So. I'm not. This sounds crazy, but this was what they claim. If I shall go by the media, but about the bank crash in general, if somebody gets broke, let's say another company than a bank. I'll be very quick on it, but I think this is relevant. Okay, how can you move? Or how can you declare that you're broke if you could collect in debt for 25 to 40 years and claim you're broke? And my money, well, my debts and the majority of the people who had debt, let's say, with Kaupthing, they moved to the new bank, Arion. But they changed the ID number, they changed their name, but still working in the same building. Majority of the people who worked on Kaupthing is still working for the Arion Bank. How is that being a bank broke, bankrupt? I say tax fraud.
And so, I guess we're being led to believe over here there's still a lot of work to do to clean up the banking industry if people are just being able to move along sideways and continue as they have been doing.
Yes, I think this is obvious. I mean, this is just tax fraud. I mean, but the money the big shots had taken loans for, written for themselves and everything, that was totally left in the broke bank. That did not move on. My loans did. I lost my house. Well, goodbye. And many others. And are still losing because of this bank crash. That is not so much stated. Well, I would say, you heard about the iSafe accounts. The risky.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. People say that our rebellious act down at the Althingi, is that what made us get things on a more correct path? Yes, but we would never have got that if our president would not have used his power to say no to that. My children, well, I and my children and grandchildren should be paying off the iSafe's accounts. He say no, but the government was about to let that go through and say yes. So I would say that is the main winning we got. That is that next generation shall not be paying off the hoax these guys played.
And you mentioned the president there and his effect on how that progressed. The people of Iceland have also rewritten part of their constitution. How has that affected those dynamics? Are politicians now more able to hold bankers to account?
Can you say it again?
In terms of politicians being able to hold bankers to account, in Iceland, the Icelandic people have recently rewritten the constitution of Iceland. Has that made a difference?
Well, I'm not so much in there, I have to admit that. But I'm not quite sure about that is. I'm not so sure that is still taking so much effect. But there, I'm not so very good. My knowledge there is not so much as maybe on other areas. So I will not maybe go there. But I think, okay, the government now, the right wing and the left wing. The right wing is the same wing as was ruling when we got bankrupt. So our memory seemed to be between elections very low.
So it's almost like you just change the suits, you change the rosettes, and everything carries on as normal in a lot of ways.
Well, yes, lucky going look or everything like that. But well, I think it is not enough to change always the people. It is very funny, people talk and talk before elections what they are going to change. Well, when they sit in the old chairs from the others, I think the old dirt smear on their asses too. They seem to get totally the same, or their courage go away. They talk boldly before elections, but walking the talk, that's another story.
And another thing with Iceland is also their changing relationship with the European Union. In this country, at the moment, there's a debate which is starting up about whether we're going to continue to be members of the European Union or not. So how has the relationship between Europe and Iceland changed over the last few years?
Funny you mention this. I was just looking at the news before the show, and they say Iceland got 10% by the European law. And well, many people still seem to think that changing the currency save all for us and going to the European Union because of that. But I think, no, I'm against European Union, no matter what. I mean, Iceland is only 330,000 people. What voice would we have? I mean, but we have a country who have water and all kinds of other resources, and I think that is maybe what the other might want. But how can I say it? I lost the word. Sorry, my English. Anyway, maybe you bring another question if you like. Well, my brain is trying to function.
Well, we're actually very close to the end of the show. So if there's anything that you'd like to let our audience know about quickly, or where they can find out more about your work.
Well, I have a blog, and not so much active there lately, and I'm on Facebook. Well, anyway, if they like, they can contact me.
There's a link to your Facebook page on our flyer today, so they can always get you there, can't they?
Yeah. And about one thing, if I may make that as my closure, is that I would like people to not surrender into fear, no matter what. That is what this so-called elite rule by. They want us to run on fear fuel, not on faith. After all, they have made vaccine for fundamentalists called fun vaccine.
Thank you very much indeed, Inga. That's lovely. And we're just about to sign out of the bunker. So,
good night, everyone. Thanks for a really busy chat room tonight. That was great to see so many people in there. And thanks, Inga. That was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Inga. And, you know, it's definitely about questioning research. So I'm just going to jump on my hoverboard for a rehydrated pizza. Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much for wanting me here.
Thank you. Thank you, Inga. And for the rest of the evening, stay with us on Dark City Radio, because we've got the Dark City Cannabis Compassion coming up, where they're going to be interviewing Cannabis Free, who's been an activist for the last 20 years. And then after that, the Max Steele Show. So thank you very much for joining us in the bunker.